So another story, we went recently to Pittsburgh. There was a nice symposium there at which we spoke. Hinduism past, present, and future was a subject, and there was about 10 speakers and an impressive group of PhDs, most of them. Some were very, very insightful. Others were more theoretical. And what we spoke on was Hindu megatrends, which was a very interesting topic and is coming out in the next issue of Hinduism Today. We're updating our 10 Hindu megatrends. Remember, we published them about 12 years ago? And so it's a way of looking into the future and ideally not just looking, but reflecting on the positive trends and the negative trends and taking advantage of the positive trends and trying to fix the negative ones. So ideally, we just don't look at it as a nice document, but Hindu leaders think on these trends and put them into use in a practical way. So one of the experiences was one of the participants in the seminar came up during a break. He says, "Oh, you weren't born a Hindu. What made you adopt the Hindu ways?" So that's a common question you get asked, and I always give the same answer. Well, Hinduism is an experiential religion. That's what I always say. It teaches you not just to believe in God, but to experience God. Not just to believe in the deeper truths, but to be able to experience them. And that's why Hinduism is so great. You know, that's what I always say. Standard answer. But in reflecting upon it, you know, I realized I needed to expand my answer. My answer was good, but hit the core of the matter, but it could be better. So I was thinking about that and added two more reasons. So I'll share those reasons with you. It's joyous. How do you elaborate on that? But Yogaswami has a nice statement. It goes into English. You know, you hear me quote it often. Bliss, bliss, bliss. Here, there, everywhere am I. That's how it gets translated, meaning he's experiencing God's omnipresence as himself. So it's a very profound but simple statement. So what are the first three words there? Bliss, right? So Hinduism takes us into a bliss consciousness. You know, we're not just denying ourselves and sitting there in hardship or something on a rock all day and hoping for something to happen. You know, it's taking us ever more deeply into a bliss consciousness. That's the idea. As Gurudeva said, you know, life is meant to be lived joyously, right? So that's one of the greatnesses of Hinduism, is it's leading us into our inner bliss. There's a nice word that we use in Dancing with Shiva, entasy. E-N-T-A-S-Y, instead of ecstasy, which is like outer bliss, this is inner bliss. Meaning we don't have to do anything to create it. Outer bliss, you have to do something to create it. If you're a child, you go on a roller coaster. Bliss, you know. You have to do something outside of yourself. So ecstasy means the bliss is inside, you just have to find it. You don't have to do anything. You just have to go deeply enough inside yourself to find it, inner bliss. It's there all the time. So sometimes we don't convey that joyous sense enough about Hinduism, particularly to children, to youth. And it's important. Sometimes the youth just encounter Hinduism as a strictness, as a set of rules. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, and you got to get up and, you know, a bunch of rules. And the sense of joy isn't emphasized enough, but it should be. You know, we need to balance out the rules with a sense of enjoyment, with a sense of joy in the Hindu approach. So that's the second reason why Hinduism is so great. There's a third reason. In Gurudeva's terminology, it has a great collection of tools, techniques that we can follow. As Gurudeva said on the last inner search, I've given you all the tools, and it's up to you whether you use them or not. It's like we just recently built a carpenter shop. It's got some of the greatest tools you can have for carpentry in this shop, but the shop isn't that valuable unless we build something, right? We have to use it. We have to have the skill, the knowledge to use the tools, and then we have to actually turn them on and use them and build something. So we're using it to build a shrine for Gurudeva back there in the corner, if any of you aren't aware of what we're doing back there. That's a shrine for Gurudeva that we're planning to finish by his Mahasamadhi. So it'll be ready by November. So we have a great collection of tools. The best collection of tools, techniques, to cause us to progress on the spiritual path. There is no tradition that has more tools than Hinduism. It's got more tools than you can use. You know, even just the trilogy, dancing, living, and merging with Shiva, you know, you won't be able to apply all those tools to your life. There's too many of them. But you know, you grab onto the ones that are the most important and use those, and you make progress. So it has a great collection of tools, of techniques to progress spiritually.